This is a recording of Dr. Tom Rozelle for Sunday, December 4th, 2016. You can listen to this program live every Sunday afternoon from 12 noon to 1 p.m. right here on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The following program is paid for by its sponsors, who are solely responsible for its content. Views expressed on this program are not the views of 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live, right now, on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
And welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. We are here live in the studio to hear to talk about health issues and get you informed so you have more options and are more educated about holistic medicine and different things you can do for your own health and get involved with what's going on nationally. We have a large topic to talk about, one that's got so much research, so much background information that it's probably going to take up more than we have time for. But luckily, I'm here, Stephanie Pina, filling in for Dr. Rozelle today while he's also educating around the country. But I'm not here alone. I'm here with a group of board members from the Acupuncture Society of Virginia, and we're going to talk about something that's made the news through the political process that keeps growing. It was just talked about on the news right before we started. And that is the opioid addiction crisis that's been declared as a public health emergency here in the Virginia area, but in a lot of other states across the country have had to deal with this issue. And many people are dealing with this on a personal level. They know someone. But how to deal with opioids and pain management issues, which is a large topic. Obviously, we want to get you as much information as possible. But even here in Virginia, what's interesting is that in November 21st of 2016, a press release was sent out by Governor Terry McAuliffe announcing that Virginia opioid crisis was a public health emergency. How much of an emergency is this? And what we want to just do is give you some facts and figures before we start the conversation going. So if you also want to tune in, feel free to give us a call here at the station, which the number is 1-888-630-9625. Again, that number is 1-888-630-9625. By the end of 2016, the numbers of fatal opioid overdose deaths are expected to increase by 77%. Compared to 5 years ago. In 2014, for the first time in Virginia, more people died from opioid overdose than fatal car accidents. Emergency room visits from heroin overdose in January through September of 2016 increased 89% compared to the same nine-month period in 2015. In the first half of 2016, the total number of fatal drug overdoses in Virginia increased 35% as compared to the same time period the year before. And in 2013, fatal drug overdoses became the number one cause of unnatural death. So as you can see, this is an issue. And from an acupuncturist perspective and holistic provider, we're here to give you some of that information. But I'm going to introduce my board, and then we're going to get into this. I'm going to have the ladies just introduce themselves real quick, and we'll go from there.
Hi, I'm Aubrey Fisher.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Reynolds.
Hi, good morning. I'm Jody Knauer.
And as I mentioned, these are all licensed practitioners of acupuncture here in the state. And we also, between myself and Rebecca Reynolds, we also have a dual license that at one point we would have been able to prescribe. We had DEA numbers, so we were able to prescribe some of the medications we're going to talk about, too. So we've got a really experienced board. Both Aubrey and Joni have extensive experience with pain management. Jody also basically has had experience working with military as well, too. So you're going to hear about a lot of different aspects of how we come about and why acupuncture really should be something that people should be thinking about, not only as the first way to think about treating pain management, but also to help treat and deal with the addictions of this opioid crisis. Let's talk about first this mechanism of action, because when we talk about something that's so serious as medical drugs and opioid medications, we need to talk about, you know, how they work. But let's think of it from an acupuncture standpoint, because a lot of people still aren't aware of how it works in the body and what our clinical experiences are. When we think about that, how do we see treating pain management and treating the opioids problem as an issue in our own clinics?
Well, that's a really good question. Obviously, pain arises as a result of a lot of different reasons. You know, there's trauma, so falls, auto accidents, work injuries. But what I see a lot in my own clinic is just the change in lifestyle we've had probably over the last decade or so. We're more sedentary, so we don't move around a lot. We don't get as much exercise. I see a lot of postural alignment issues related to sitting for long periods of time. I treat a lot of IT computer specialists who spend like 8 to 10 hours at their desk. And so they sit a lot, and they get repetitive injuries as well from using, keyboards and other technology.
And we find that chronic pain is also a multi-level, multifactorial problem, caused from anxiety, depression, financial problems, and family problems. So pain reaction has to do with the environment that the person is in, as well as the family and community situation that they're in.
You know, and oftentimes in my clinic, I see patients who haven't, you know, quite tuned in to their pain yet. So, you know, perhaps some warning signs initially, and then all of a sudden, you know, a couple months later, it's become quite chronic, and they're in a lot more pain than maybe just a few twinges in their hips or a little bit of low back pain. And when I worked with the military at Fort Belvoir, I worked through an organization called There and Back Again, and we are working with soldiers who are transitioning back from the war. And we had weekly clinics for almost a year and a half, and treating in a community style. And we were treating pain management, we were treating stress, we were treating anxiety, we were treating PTSD and traumatic brain injury. And the soldiers were so grateful and so thankful for this acupuncture clinic. And there was a fantastic pain management clinic right next door at the hospital, but they were overwhelmed. They were overwhelmed because so many people wanted to get acupuncture. So the soldiers were requesting more acupuncture. They were seeing and had several cases in particular where they were able to get off of all pain medicine and receive acupuncture only. And it was quite remarkable.
Yeah, I think we're all seeing the mixture of everything coming in and making sure that if recommendations and we need to be out there to treat and be available for pain management, we need just more acupuncturists out there and the ability for people to actually get in to the clinics to see people like ourselves and across the country is going to be really important, especially when treating this opioid crisis and looking for other alternatives. A lot of this all came up when, in 2016, of March of this year, the CDC put out guidelines for prescribing opioids for chronic pain. And obviously, a lot of research went into this. They made recommendations that were really based for primary care providers, for people who are not pain specialists, but primary care providers, that first line of defense, and those people that work with them. And they put out guidelines that were basically for anyone, adults 18 or over, and these pain guidelines for basically opioid prescription monitoring and other alternatives were basically sent out for people who were not dealing with cancer pain, were not dealing with end-of-life or palliative pain. But their guidelines were very interesting because they covered a lot of research, as I mentioned, but they didn't cover quite everything. So we do want to make sure that we can also help them with one of their number one recommendations. And out of the 12 recommendations that they said, which is available, you know, online from the CDC, the first recommendation that they said was non-pharmacological therapy and non-opioid pharmacological therapy are preferred for chronic pain. Clinicians should consider using opioid therapy only if expected benefits for both pain and function are anticipated to outweigh the risks for the patient. If opioids are used, they should be combined with non-pharmacological therapies and non-opioid pharmacological therapy as appropriate. This is the perfect place when we talk about holistic healing, especially the role of acupuncture, because one of the benefits is that not only acupuncture treats pain management and has a long time history of doing it, lots of research on it, but it also helps treat the effects that come along with pain management and drug use, like addiction as well, too. So we're going to be getting into that with this show. First, let's back it up, because we always tend to try to explain a little bit more about acupuncture itself. And one of the things that people go, well, how the heck is this supposed to work? I understand I take my medication. I don't feel my pain. I go back to the doctor. If it doesn't work, they give me more medication. They increase the dose. I get these side effects. They give me another medication for the side effects. But how does acupuncture play into that? And I think the more we are able to talk to people about this, the better, because they start to understand it actually makes a lot of sense. So we're going to talk about the mechanism behind acupuncture, how it really works, and how it fits perfectly into this first recommendation before getting into even non-opioid pharmaceutical medications, but all the other recommendations which are related to drugs. Aubrey, do you want to grab on this?
Sure. The CDC has come out with a guideline recommending non-pharmacological interventions, but the CDC isn't the only one who has made these recommendations as well. The American College of Physicians and the American Pain Society both got together to create a joint clinical practice guideline specifically for low back pain and diagnosis and treatment of low back pain. So they are also recommending acupuncture, as well as the Joint Commission, who has come out recently and said, you know, acupuncture is a great non-pharmacological alternative to opioid medications.
And there's, you know, there's so much research out there now regarding acupuncture. There's thousands of clinical trials and showing improving the effectiveness and the safety of acupuncture. Oftentimes, you know, if someone has perhaps a little pain in the infraspinatus, there can be referral patterns. And from that, the tissue perhaps might be hypoxic or there might be a lack of oxygen in the tissue. So acupuncture increases blood flow to the region. Acupuncture acts as an endogenous opiate. So in this, it's a natural anti-inflammatory compound, and it helps support relaxation and supporting pain management. And, you know, oftentimes acupuncture can facilitate the better usage of the body's own natural chemistry for creating the potential for similar or sometimes better benefits than synthetic drugs without the risk or the addiction or side effects.
Yes, I was going to point that out. It's important to note that acupuncture is very safe and very effective. There are no side effects in comparison to what people experience on opioid medications.
Yeah, when we talk about those endogenous opioids, basically that's your body's own pain mechanism. And what's amazing, if anyone out there has ever had acupuncture, or they've talked to people who have had acupuncture too, that's one of the main mechanisms they've seen with research, you know, medical physicians agree that they've been able to test this, that when patients come in, they also get this great sense of relaxation, which in itself is its own therapeutic value. You can't say we can't relax some more. We need to de-stress, right? Well, those endorphins and opioids that the body creates naturally are working at the same receptor levels that these medications are. So basically, you're treating the exact same way on a much more gentle level, and the body can relax at the same time. It does pain management and helps with relaxation, which is some of the things that these drugs and medications can't provide. The side effects are little to none, and we've had a long time history of it. We've used it for multiple different kind of pain things.
Yeah, and, you know, in addition to the natural opiates that acupuncture stimulates, it also works with the effectiveness of treating chronic pain involving adverse neuroplasticity. So, you know, with this neuroplasticity, the brain is reorganizing the neural pathways. And you can think of this as the brain's way of tuning into itself to meet your own needs. So acupuncture is effective for chronic pain, but it also is effective for acute pain as well.
We see this over and over again. We're going to get into how the Joint Acupuncture Opioid Task Force, the Acupuncture Now Foundation, and the American Society of Acupuncturists have filed a report with the CDC to actually talk about the benefits of acupuncture using their own research and basically their scientific references to help come up with better options for patients just like you. We're going to be back in just a couple of minutes to talk about the opioid crisis and how acupuncture can help you.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
And welcome back to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Stephanie Pina in studio with members of the Acupuncture Society of Virginia talking about how acupuncture should be part of the CDC's guidelines for prescribing opioids for chronic pain that came out earlier this year, and how we were dealing with the pain management and opioid epidemic crisis. If you listened to the news before we came in here, you heard that because of the opioid crisis, there was actually a rise of increase in hepatitis and HIV. So those uses are things that we're dealing with, and we're seeing the effects of this opioid crisis grow beyond just the prescription writing. And how do we affect that? Well, we think acupuncture should be part of it, just like every other part. And acupuncture in itself is a complete medical system. It involves things like exercise and dietary therapy. Exercise like Qigong, Tai Chi involves things like making sure that your lifestyle is balanced as well, too. So it's more than just when people think about going in and visit the acupuncturist and lying on that bed to become comfortable and relaxed, but treating pain management, things like insomnia, digestive issues, and the rest of the body, which we know play a significant factor into how we deal with pain itself. How does inflammation get treated? We can treat that as well, too. The Joint Acupuncture Opioid Task Force that first put out their recommendations, and one of them is to realize that acupuncture is a safe, effective, and cost-effective treatment for various types of pain, and that acupuncture should be recommended for treatment of pain before opioids are prescribed. It has it's effective in treating a number of different types of pain issues, and even the World Health Organization has a number of different pain issues listed on their website since, I believe, the 80s. They've put that on there. So one of the things that, instead of just making it all about the numbers, we're going to give you a couple of case examples, too, that of things that we've seen and why we think and agree with what their commissions are. Aubrey?
So I treat a lot of pain, and it's one of my specialties. And what I have noticed with both acute and chronic pain is a lot of it is very much about muscles, pathology in the muscles. And you know, once you can fix that, once you can support the muscles, relax the muscles, and balance the muscles, the pain goes away. A few weeks ago, I had a young man come into my clinic. He was hunched over. He couldn't stand up straight. He was also a little bit laterally flexed or kind of bent to the side. And he had difficulty walking. He had to limp down the hallway and into my treatment room. Now, he had spent the last couple of days in the hospital. His wife had gone into early labor, so he was sleeping in chairs and on really poor surfaces, and that's what was likely the cause of his pain. He did go to the emergency room, and he was given painkillers and muscle relaxants, which did nothing to improve his symptoms. And it took about a week and a half for him to make his way to my office. Once I got him on the table and I did my exam, I treated the muscles that I thought were the problem, the pathology, and he left my office 45 minutes later walking upright with no pain and no limp.
So it's just one example of what's happening every day in acupuncture offices across the country, and why it's so important to really go and make sure you're seeing somebody who can help you before pharmaceutical treatments. One of the things that's interesting is because of this guidelines and here in the state as well and in other states, they're starting to look at other types of treatment protocols, different things they can do to reach out to people to get them educated and aware of options, resources. And one of the things that is interesting is one of the states, Vermont in particular, tends to be one of these states that are really forefront in what's going on with this.
Right, exactly, Stephanie. So in Vermont, at the end of June, the governor has passed a new opioid bill. And this bill is specific. It's a pilot program for the state of Vermont. And this new law requires the Department of Vermont Health Access to offer acupuncture to a cohort of Medicaid-eligible patients with a diagnosis of chronic pain and assessing the benefits of returning patients to social, occupational, and psychological function. So this bill and, you know, having acupuncture be a part of the pain management team is really at the forefront of the opioid crisis. Here in the state of Virginia, for more information, the governor has started a new website, VA Aware. The Department of Health Professions has established this statewide website, and it's going to serve as a and is serving as a central point for information on drug addiction in the Commonwealth here.
So we know that there's a lot of different ways to get information out there, and we're going to continue to give you the information as well, too. We want people to know, obviously, that there are options out there. And the CDC's report was a great eye-opener, I think, for primary care physicians, because they realized not only do they have to start becoming more aware and talk about their treatment goals with their patients, but that monitoring is a big issue, too. And a lot of the times, they just don't have the time to do that. They're trying to get as many patients in. Holistic medicine, acupuncture, chiropractic, all that is a great way to basically get that time in, because holistic medicine is known for the fact that they take more time with their patients and be able to address more in the whole body, not just their pain symptoms. We got to take a quick break here, and then we're going to be back for the second half and much more information about acupuncture and the opioid crisis.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
And welcome back to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. In studio with me is the members of the Acupuncture Society of Virginia, and we are talking about acupuncture and its recommendations and something you need to try out when we're talking pain management. This call comes up after the CDC's guidelines for prescribing opioids for chronic pain in 2016, and that was basically put out so that we didn't have to deal as much with the opioid crisis and get some patients and primary care physicians educated about some possible guideline use on how to do this. One of the things they said is they thought non-pharmaceutical treatments was going to be one of the first things to start with pain, and especially chronic pain, and that's where we want acupuncture to play a bigger part. Quick statistics here as well, just so we can review how much of an issue this is. The United States uses 80% of the world's painkillers, despite having only 5% of the world's population. Nationally, 78 people die of opioid-related overdoses a day. More than 40 people die every day from prescription opioid overdoses. And when we think about that as well, too, providers have written nearly a quarter of a billion opioid prescriptions in 2013. That's enough for every American adult to have their own bottle of pills, and that's all according to the CDC off of their guidelines. So we've got a problem, and we've got to do something about it. And one of the ways we're going to do something about it is understanding the issue and understanding our own ability to treat stuff. One of the other great things is that it doesn't have to be a solo thing, treatment. We want to use everything together. And both the Acupuncture Society has come together, and we're mentioning a lot of their information. Also, the American Chiropractic Association realizes that we need to integrate as much non-pharmaceutical therapies as a frontline treatment for the options of pain. And also the American Naturopathic Association is also calling for better education between the public and private practitioners so they can understand other options, especially in the care of holistic medicine. Acupuncture serves great because it can also serve not only to treat pain management, but it can also help to treat the addiction and abuse issues that are related to pain management. So there are options not only in the front line of how do we treat pain, but also how do we deal with the issues that come up with it and the side effects as well. We're going to talk now about what's been around since the 1970s, which has been NADA, which is the National Acupuncture Detoxification Association, which has been playing a key player, basically, and we've all been trained to some aspect in this, but it's been dealing with pain and opioid and different substances addiction as well, too.
Yes, Dr. Michael Smith in the 1970s started using ear acupuncture in the Bronx of New York for treating addiction problems, and he actually started the organization National Acupuncture Detoxification Association in 1985, and they're actively involved in thousands of clinics in 45 different countries. And so you say, well, how does this work? Well, Jody mentioned neuroplasticity, but in treating addiction, you are just really depleted in neurotransmitters in your brain and all over your body. And acupuncture helps raise the serotonin and dopamine and GABA levels, which are just at rock bottom with addiction patients. And this increasing of neurotransmitters will help patients overcome depression, anxiety, and insomnia, and it will also help the people involved in a treatment program be able to maintain in their treatment program. It also cuts down on the distrust that the addicted individual may have over a period of time by simply interacting with the acupuncturist in the process of having the needles put in. It will help deal with his underlying fears about his substance abuse problems, there's usually a lot of guilt. And the calming and grounding effect of the mind also help reduce the pain relief and the withdrawal symptoms by increasing the endorphins. Acupuncture today has a great opportunity to work with other government agencies here in the state of Virginia and CDC and SAMHSA, the Substance and Abuse Mental Health Service Administration. We look forward as an organization, as ASVA, to working to help with the opioid epidemic and recovery and treatment. Because acupuncture and having acupuncture recognized for the effective modality that it is.
So what we've also, you know, in our own clinics as well, too, a lot of those same points we use on a daily basis to treat other things. Like I said, insomnia, anxiety, depression, a lot of these points are used to treat other issues in the body. So what's interesting is a lot of acupuncturists know how to do this. They do it in their clinics. They may combine it with body points as well, which really gives a relaxing effect. And the clinic that was in New York that started this all closed in the last couple of years, but they used to offer free training for acupuncturists to come down for 2 weeks and work with patients one-on-one, learn the procedures, go to different meetings with them so they could understand how do you best treat the act themselves. I was able to work with somebody who had gone and done it, and she came back with a wealth of knowledge and understanding, not only treating the addiction, but treating the patient. And a lot of times these patients, you know, it's a different interaction than when you're coming in and saying, I have this problem, because they're not able to express their withdrawal symptoms and stuff too. And acupuncture is used as an adjunct treatment. So it's used together with other things as well too. So that safe zone is definitely where acupuncture can be a player in this whole field. One of the things that this guideline from CDC did not address, and they actually were very clear cut in it, is the fact that their pain management guidelines did not address patients, particularly that were dealing with cancer, that were dealing with end-of-life care, with palliative care, so basically working more with quality of life. And I think that the acupuncture serves a huge role in this. I have a patient currently right now that you know, we work together to try to do the best we can, and she gets results, and she also has someone to talk through the whole thing as well, too. Also, when you look at some of the other major players out there and facilities that treat cancer care, the Mayo, Sloan Kettering, Mayo Clinic, Cancer Treatment Centers of America, they all have acupuncturists on staff that work with their patients. So when I was treating, when I was in my internship with a radiation oncologist, he was more than happy to have us go in there and treat these patients because they knew where they didn't want to give them any more medications. They weren't allowed to give them more. So there was definitely things that acupuncture could do for these patients, especially since they're not even in these guidelines as well, too.
Yeah, so often regarding addiction, there can be a stigma attached to an addiction. And you know, the U.S. Surgeon General recently explained that addiction is not a character flaw. It's a chronic illness, and we must approach this with the same skill and compassion with which we approach heart disease, diabetes, and cancer. And in 2016, the U.S. Surgeon General, Dr. Vivek Murthy, launched a public awareness campaign about the opioid epidemic. He wrote to ourselves and 2.3 other million health professionals and encouraging all to seek education and safe practices and to screen patients for the opioid use.
We know, too, that there are patients out there that have been on opioid medication. They are using it for a particular reason, and they're not just going to stop using it. You know, they do respond to it, and there are studies that say people with chronic pain aren't necessarily always the ones that are becoming the addicts that we always think of. It can be acute pain. It can be the pain medication that was given too much for such a small thing. 10 or 15 days of Percocet after a dental procedure sometimes might be a little much. And also when people are on that, they don't know when that stop is because they're not going over their treatment protocols. I remember treating a postal worker who got injured during the holiday season, was put on workers' comp and was on given first Percocet and then ended up in a methadone clinic. And with acupuncture, he was slowly able to come off of that because we could monitor his progress, and he didn't know how he was going to do that to begin with. So basically there's a lot of different things, and also treating the side effects of some of these medications, any of these medications. But we know that chronic constipation is an issue. We know that the opioid itself kind of, if you imagine it slowing down the body, so the stools don't want to work as well, the respiratory system doesn't work as well, so there's increased risk of side effects with people that have sleep apnea because their breathing is already off. There's increased risk of drug interactions, basically, with everything like antihistamines, antidepressants. That's all been reported. So if we can use some of these holistic medicine modalities like acupuncture to help treat that, there's less medications going around. There's less need of these drug interactions as well, too. So the side effects become a huge thing. In fact, there's commercials now on opioid-induced constipation TV ads where he's walking around and everybody's happy, but he's looking for the bathroom and he can't go. So, you know, that's something that acupuncture can definitely kind of address, too. As funny as we think that might be, it's a very serious issue for a lot of people that are on these medications and need these medications to survive.
Yeah, you know, we can no longer afford to have acupuncture on the sidelines anymore as part of a pain management care. And, you know, we work so well as acupuncturists and team with and in conjunction with primary medical physicians within hospital settings, within an integrative care center. So we're often seeing patients from an acute level, but also a chronic, you know, post-operative stage where they are, you know, perhaps on medications and they're slowly getting off of those medications. And we can treat patients through all phases of surgeries, all phases of their pain as well, to help support the process and working with their medical doctors.
And a lot of the times they have patients that come in, and my favorite is, I don't have, you know, the doctor isn't giving me any more help, or I don't know the reason behind my pain. Like, that's a great time to also try acupuncture as well, too, because we're looking at it from a slightly different angle. We're looking at a different side of the box.
I thought that your example of your workers' compensation patient was great, because that's actually how I got into acupuncture. I was a paralegal prior to being an acupuncturist, and I started working for a law firm that did a workers' compensation. And my, I would say, you know, the majority of my clients went from, you know, just being injured on the job to actually being addicted to prescription opioids. And my job, it got to the point where I was doing more damage control, you know, as my patient or as my clients became addicted, they would often steal prescription pads, or, you know, like they were at risk of losing their jobs and their families. And I remember thinking to myself, there's got to be a better way to treat pain. And I started to do the research, and that's when acupuncture came up. Now, this was 10 years ago, so calling acupuncturists were few and far between at that point. And many of them weren't willing to take on workers' compensation cases because, they're tricky cases to take on. Today is amazing because we have, you know, we have a lot of options for people, and there's a lot of acupuncturists, and, you know, we have 400 alone in the state of Virginia.
One thing that we haven't mentioned is acupuncture is a great adjunct to methadone and suboxone treatment. So if somebody's in a treatment program with methadone, acupuncture will help reduce the doses of methadone. And as Stephanie mentioned, she had a patient that was able to get off methadone because of his acupuncture treatments.
Yeah, when I was working at Fort Belvoir with the soldiers, one of the most powerful testimonials I heard from one of the soldiers was, you know, try acupuncture. What do you have to lose except for maybe bags and bags of medications?
Yeah, and I think the more accessibility we have and the more, you know, the public knows about how acupuncture works, and we're trying to get that out there as part of the Acupuncture Society of Virginia, but so are other state organizations as well, too. So when we come back later, we're going to give you some resources where you can reach out, whether you're in Virginia or you're in other areas of the country and listening to this online. But of course, always on this show, you're hearing about no drugs, no surgery, but we want to make sure that everybody is organized and has a chance to get the information that they need to. This opioid epidemic is just one medication that we know that there's issues and issues out there for. And unfortunately, some people are also getting this medication not from prescription use, but from, going in and getting it from family members because they have a pain treatment and you're there and I happen to be prescribed it. And so why don't you take my pain medication? That's difficult to monitor as a practitioner and a physician. Also in the CDC guidelines, they mention that a lot of primary care physicians are uncomfortable with having those talks and conversations about treatment goals, about how to deal with addiction, how to identify and address it, signs of addiction, which the governor's VA Aware actually gives you some of those signs and information as well, too. So there's a lot of information that even from a doctorate level, there needs to be more monitoring. And if that conversation is not coming up and you're one of the people that we're talking to, you need to bring that up. And perhaps you're going to be the one that tells your own doctor about the CDC guidelines and have you taken a look at them and am I on the right medications? If not, you need to come see what else we can do as well. We'll be back in just a couple of moments to wrap things up, give you some good resources. You're live here with us on the Dr. Tom Rosell Live Show.
Dr. Tom Rosell Live continues now on 105.9 FM and AM 630 WMAL.
And welcome back. This is Stephanie Pino on the Dr. Tom Rosell Live Show here live in studio with the Acupuncture Society of Virginia. And we are talking acupuncture and the opioid crisis and pain management. Things that everyone should be aware of, things that even you can talk to your doctor about as well, too. If they don't have a referring acupuncturist that they know of or you're interested in it, there's a lot of different resources out there that we're going to talk about. But maybe it's time for you to get involved with your healthcare and inform them. The more information out there, the better. One of the things you want to do, too, and everyone that's on this board is also a qualified licensed acupuncturist. So we want to give you some resources to where you find those people. If you're here in Virginia, you can go to the Acupuncture Society of Virginia's website to find acupuncturists that are near you. We have a listing under Find Your Practitioner. And that website is www.acusova.com. If you're in other parts of the country and you're listening to this on the internet later on, or you want to refer someone, at least to get the information, there is a national commission that organizes all of us. We're all licensed under them. And basically that website is www.nccaom.org, O-R-G. Again, they'll have an area on there that you can find practitioners. You go to find your practitioner, click on, it'll ask you to click on acupuncture and or oriental medicine, and it'll give you a list that you can actually search by your zip code. You can always email us too if you're off of our website, and we can always give you a hand as well there too. And so there's a lot of resources around you. Look for your state associations as well. Each state association will usually have a list of the people and the members that are part of that, and they usually also say what they have specialties in too. We're going to do some last-minute final thoughts about this topic.
Yes, I just wanted to point out that acupuncture is accessible for everyone. My youngest patient is 10. My youngest pain management patient is 10, and my oldest is 88. So you're never too young or too old for acupuncture.
And, you know, acupuncture, in addition to age ranges, treats so many types of people in different stages of what they're going through in their lives. And, you know, I see a lot of women in my clinic and a lot of pregnant women. And oftentimes during pregnancy, of course, you're limited with what you can ingest in the body. And acupuncture is fantastic and incredibly safe for a pregnant woman in supporting any sort of pain, constipation, stress.
Morning sickness.
Exactly.
I just wanted to mention that on a positive note, with the opioid epidemic, the positive thing is that it has been recognized, and acupuncturists and Governor McAuliffe in Virginia are working hard to lessen and or resolve the opioid addiction, and we're working with other organizations to try to come up with resolutions to help our population that's suffering with this problem.
Yeah, we really can't tell more and more about the fact that at least these CDC guidelines have gotten people's eyes open because, you know, it was just something that was thrown out there that we've heard about. But more people actually know people dealing with pain and they don't have other options for them. The Joint Acupuncture Opioid Task Force paper is also available online and as other information too under the Acupuncture Now Foundation. They are a great resource, and the Acupuncture Society of Virginia is a member of that association. So all of our members are essentially a part of that as well, too. So it's a great resource for anyone, really. They're easy to read, but it gives us the proof behind the pudding, because a lot of this stuff can get lost in numbers. And really, it's all about the education and making sure we can get patients treated. If you're looking for someone, again, in your area, make sure you check out your state associations, because they're going to be the best ones to answer the questions that you have. Even if you're not sure if you want to go in, they can tell you, answer questions. Does acupuncture hurt? How old do I have to be to get acupuncture? We hear it all. But we want to make sure that patients are informed and know why they're coming in, more than just treating pain management, and also knowing that it can affect other aspects of their body, like lifestyle, financial, chronic inflammation, other areas that come up for you, as well as treating side effects and other issues. Dr. Rozelle is going to be back next week, and we have to thank him for letting us crash the radio show once again. And essentially, live from in here, we're thankful to be here and be able to give you this information. And hopefully you had learned a couple of big things about acupuncture and are better ready to deal with the opioid crisis. Thanks, and we'll see you next week.